Welcome back, disciples. Good to be with you. As we mentioned earlier, hey, last week I introduced this concept to us called cloud chasers or cloud chasing. And for some, it may have been a deeply familiar and meaningful concept and idea, especially those of you who maybe have come from a more charismatic experience in past church life or in your upbringing. And that brings up for you all kinds of deep and rich memories. And yet for others, it may be completely a new concept. You go cloud chasing. You didn't know what that was. I did a little Google search and found that for some of you, it might even have some sort of connection to vaping. And that's not what we're talking about here, right? We're not chasing that cloud. But in short, it's this idea of cloud chasing all began back in Exodus chapter 13. God's delivered his people, Israel, out of the enslaved hands of Egypt. And led them out of their slavery from Egypt. And the Egyptians don't want that at all. But God's delivering his people, and that evil slavery is going away. And in his gracious design, he's gently guiding him and gives them this cloud by day to follow that by night would become a pillar of fire. And they're given this cloud by day and pillar of fire to lead them on their way. And it was this beautiful piece of leadership, but it was far more than a supernatural roadmap for the people of Israel. It represented God's presence with them, and it served as a reminder of God's care for them. And this concept of the cloud by day and fire by night continues into your life and into mine even today. We too find ourselves, much like Israel in their day, walking some pretty unknown territory. Walking some paths and some steps we're not sure how to follow God in. And while God's not giving you and I a visible cloud by day or fire by night, he's given us his word. He's given us the scriptures. He sent his spirit to live in our souls and to whisper to our hearts throughout the day. And he's given us each other as we look around this room. And our challenge in following God and in being cloud chasers, if you will, I'm finding has less to do with figuring out what the cloud is or where the cloud is sitting. While those are challenges, I'm finding the pace of the cloud to be the greater challenge as I follow God. I'm finding that staying in step with his route and finding joy in him, especially in seasons of waiting, is some of the most difficult and greatest obstacles to my cloud chasing. Because after all, we've called this series Cloud Chasers, but more often than not, it feels like we're cloud waiters, waiting on the cloud. Waiting on God to move. Waiting on God to take another step on our behalf. And all of this is not like some hypothetical theological discussion we have around a fire pit where we dive into existential things and call back up that philosophy 101 class we took at junior college, right? This is like real life stuff that you and I are living. God, what do you want me to do here? How long do I let this infant cry before I pick her up and coddle her yet again? How long do I wait for my significant other or my spouse to live in this addiction before I walk out the door? How long do I allow this dishonesty to go on in my workplace before I blow the whistle and speak up? These are the real questions that you and I are wrestling through and trying to navigate in our lives, at work, and in school with our friends. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. We begin, or continue really, in this story we began last week. If you didn't bring a Bible, YouVersion's a great app. Download that one. And as you're in your app store, as you're getting your smartphone out, you might want to go over to your exercise app and just log 30 minutes of cardiovascular from that worship session, right? It was awesome. Man, you are great. I think Second Service is going to see Calvin jump. I don't want to like put that prophetic thing on him. But I feel some jumping in Second Service, I'm just saying. So, Exodus chapter 22, welcome. Good to be with you. Let's dive into this right away, if we could. Pray with me. Father, Son, and Spirit, these moments are for you. They are done in you. They are through you. All glory is to you. Speak not just to our hearts, God, but speak to the way we drive our cars and the way we talk to our loved ones. The way we walk the halls in school and the things that we post on social media and the ways that our minds think. And Lord, may the prayer of the Apostle Paul be the prayer of our hearts, that we not be conformed to the patterns and thinkings of this world, but that we be conformed to you, Father. That through the renewing of our minds and spirit, you would continue to fashion us into what you always dreamed us to be. Your prized creation. Your children on mission. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As a young child, my family and I lived in the Pacific Northwest. We lived about 20 minutes outside of Portland, to be exact, which is, for some, a very beautiful place. For me, it was the place where it always rains and the sun never shines. And for those, the rest of you who lived in Portland, you know this. And I have a whole theological rant that I do on this that is made up and isn't true, but I like to use it every now and again. And I remember my mother telling me a story. I don't remember the experience because I was too little, but at 4 or 5 years old, apparently, I walked into my mom's room crying. And she said, "Why are you crying, son? Why are you crying?" I said, "Mommy, there has to be a place we can move where the sun shines. There has to be a place, you know." And she's like, "What a depressing little four-year-old you are. I just hated the rain from the very beginning. You just look out the window, I just want to play, and it's raining again." And so oftentimes as a little kid, my mom would bundle us up and put us three kids, or really two kids then. My little sister hadn't been born yet. She's an accident. And she's also a doctor now, so joke's on me. Turned out good for mom and dad on that one. But my mom would load us up in the back of her little red Ford Escort with plastic seats. And we'd make the journey into Clackamas Town Center, remember? And we would walk the mall and walk around there because you could get in there and it was dry and it wasn't rainy. And my mom would take us into the JCPenney. And it was so familiar. We would pull into the parking lot, and I can still kind of envision it now to this day. And you knew when you were getting there, and then you'd get into JCPenney and we'd start walking around. And the first door we always went in was the women's clothing. And we'd walk around, and I was a really little guy back then. I'm huge now, but then I was small. And I just remember walking around holding my mom's hand, and I couldn't even see above the racks of clothing. You know, the little circular racks, and we would weave through them. And I knew where I was. It was familiar to me. I knew we were in the ladies' section, and I even knew where the unmentionables was. And I knew, like, where that borderline started. And four-year-old boy, right? Yeah, ain't going there. Icky bagicky, right? That's yucky stuff. But invariably, I would wander off. Mom would have it over to a rack of clothing, probably to look at something. And I'm sure that she would tell me, "Stay here. Wait right here. Don't move. I'm just going to grab this with one hand really fast." And like you moms out there, you know, she's got kids hanging on her from every which direction. And she's like, "Just stay put for a second." And me being me, I would wander off. And the next thing I know, I'm looking at couches or pots and pans. And while I don't quite know where I am, I know it's not where I'm supposed to be. And then panic would set in. You ever had that moment as a kid where you just freaked out, you realized you were gone, and in your mind you're just convinced mom's going to get in the car and drive away and never come back for you because of the thing you did, right? And so some sweet lady, it was always some lady, would come up to me and say, "Sorry, little boy, are you lost?" And I would be bawling, "Yes, I'm lost." And she would walk me over to some corduroy-clad JCPenney's associate and deliver me to them, and they would turn off the Kenny G elevator music that was playing throughout the store, and they'd get on the intercom. "Would the mother of Stuart Streeter please come to housewares?" And then I waited. And I would see my mom storming at me. And I knew I was busted. She always loved me. She always gave me a hug. Said, I told you not to wander off. And I said, but Mom, it's me. This is what I do. It's not that I forgot where I was. It's not that I wasn't familiar with the time and space and the scenario that I was in. It just, I didn't have enough height to see over the clothing racks, to see where Mom went. And as I would just drift away, just one or two or three racks, all of a sudden, I couldn't see the forest for the trees, and Mom's feet would wander off, and I couldn't find her. And if I'm real vulnerable and honest, I'm still doing it today all the time, and so are you. You're right next to God, and God is saying, I'm here with you. Don't leave this place. I have you here for a reason. Just don't move. And you and I go, it's taking you too long, God. I'm going to wander off. And soon we find ourselves in the housewares. And no guy wants to be in the housewares. And that's where we find ourselves. I suspect it's much the same way in your relationship with God. I bet you don't necessarily want to do the opposite of what God would say. If the Lord spoke to you from on high and said, turn left, I bet most of us wouldn't say, no, forget you, God, I'm going right. We just wander off. I mean, yeah, there's moments where we just outwardly rebel, but by and large, we just wander off. We just lose sight of the cloud and where God's leading us, and we wander off. And we need some nice person in our life with God to tap us on the shoulder and say, you look lost. Can I help you find your way back? The story of the cloud provides a beautiful little roadmap for us. We pick up the story in Exodus chapter 24. Let me catch you up just a little bit. God's given them this cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night to guide them. And as an onlooker, that might seem pretty miraculous. It does to me anyway. But that's actually not all God has done. As we arrive in chapter 24, we see God's done quite a few other miracles to remind them that he's with them and that he's leading them and he's caring for them. Shortly after he provides them the cloud, the Red Sea parts and they walk through it unharmed and it closes in on the pursuing Egyptians and wipes them out. Shortly after that, God delivers manna as they're out in the desert and lost and have no food. And each morning they would wake and they would come out from their homes and they would see this white flaky substance that they could then grind into a mash, basically make a flour out of and make little cakes. God provided for them. Then after that, they didn't have any water and they come to a place called Marah, and God tells Moses to strike the rock and it will provide water. And out of a rock comes water. The stuff's insane. It's like mythological. And it's the story of God and his people. And then they're attacked in war. Not long after that, it's not going well for Israel. And yet God gives them victory. And then God reveals himself at Sinai. And gives to Moses the Ten Commandments. And for the next several chapters, begins to unpack and unravel and unwind for them the ways of living in the law of God. We pick up after all of that has occurred. And God's now pulled Moses away. And 70 leaders and elders from Israel that he's appointed. He does this in Numbers 11. We'll look at it a little later if we have some time. We'll see how I do. And he pulls them away and sends them part the way up, back up the mountain where Moses had been given the Ten Commandments. And Moses gives instructions to Israel because they've been told to follow the cloud. He says, listen, the Lord's called me back up the mountain, so you come right to the foot of the mountain. You stay right here, and there's the cloud over the mountain. Don't move. Just stay right here. The Lord is with us. He's called me to go up the mountain. You guys stay here. Are we understood? And Israel calls back to him and they go, we will do it just as you've said, Moses. And he goes up the mountain with the 70 elders, then peels off with a few more of his key guys, Joshua, with him. And we pick up the story in chapter 24, verse 12. Look there with me. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. Stay there, and I will give you the tablets of stone on which I've inscribed the instructions and commands you can teach the people. So Moses and his assistant Joshua set out, and Moses climbed up the mountain of God. Moses told the elders, that's those 70 I told you about. Moses told the elders, stay here and wait for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are here with you. If anyone has a dispute while I'm gone, consult with them. Then Moses climbed up the mountain, and the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. Now, I just want to pause really quick because I want you to hold in tension. You've got Moses and his guys going up the mountain, but you've got the other 1 million or 2 million or so of Israel down at the base of the mountain looking at the cloud. And they've just been told to hang out and wait. The glory of the Lord, I'm back in 16. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the 7th day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. The Lord will always call to you and I from inside where he's leading us. You want to hear the Lord speak? Step into where he's leading you. It doesn't work the other way. You don't get to say, God, I ain't going to follow you, but I'd really love to hear you talk. And with an English accent would be delightful, if you don't mind. We step into where he's leading us, and that's where he speaks to us. Verse 18, then Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain, and he remained in the cloud, he remained on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. It's interesting, we really haven't seen much of the cloud, and if my scanning of Exodus has been correct, and my laying that over the book of Numbers, which similar, not dissimilar to the Gospels, where you get the four Gospels that overlay the stories and life of Jesus together. We get the same in the Old Testament, Exodus and Numbers, right? A few other from the Pentateuch. If my reading has been correct, we haven't heard anything about the cloud since chapter 13 when he gives it to them until we arrive at chapter 24 when it comes up again. As if to say, through all of that calamity where God delivered you, he was still leading you by the cloud. You needed water, he gave you, but follow the cloud. You're hungry, you get manna, but follow the cloud. You got an army that, coming after you to come kill you, follow the cloud. And the story goes on and on and on. But now again, the physical manifestation of God's leadership in their lives shows itself in mighty power for Moses. And there's some specific details here that, while don't yet answer the question for me, God, how do I know your pace? How do I know to stay in step with you? How do I know when you're slowing down and moving faster? It doesn't quite answer those questions for me as I studied it this week. It did tease me enough to say, nope, that's the train I want you to go on. Because he starts giving us details about timing that don't matter unless timing matters. 6th day, 7th day, stayed there 40 days, 40 nights. As if timing with God matters. You ever heard the phrase, timing is everything? Timing is everything. The significance here is not just because the cloud has shown back up in the story, but because this picture of Israel's Redeemer, Moses, mirrors for a moment, begins to foreshadow the story of our final and true Redeemer in Jesus. You get this picture of Moses peeling away from the crowd to head up the mountain to go be with the Lord. And you get this picture of Jesus leaving the crowd and the Last Supper to go to the Garden of Gethsemane with some of his close ones and saying, hey guys, what does he say to them? Wait and pray. I'm going on ahead. Wait. This waiting thing, it's not a coincidence. This waiting thing is essential to your and my life with God. It comes up over and over and over again. Will you wait on me in my presence, even if I don't do what you want? You want a revolution? You want to cut the ear off of a soldier, Peter? Uh-uh. I told you to wait and pray. You fell asleep. This waiting thing is key to us. So race forward with me. And let's get some tools from this text for us, because you and I, most of the time, ain't Moses, right? There's a little Moses in all of us, but most of the time we're Israel. Would you agree? A few heads shaking. A few saying, no way, man, I'm Moses. You have no idea. Slow down, killer. All right, here we go. Bible humor. Okay. Skip ahead to chapter 25. Jump down to verse 23. Scroll, okay? Moses is up the mountain, and for the next several chapters, God is just downloading for Moses these instructions, right? As we know, it's 40 days and 40 nights are passing. Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days, 40 nights. Moses up the mountain, 40 days, 40. This is all foreshadowing to our Savior and Redeemer, so that when the Savior arrives, there's no questioning, oh, he's a Redeemer. Remember last time we had a Redeemer and there was that 40-day thing? This guy's our Redeemer. And so Moses is up the mountain hearing from the Lord, and the Lord is just downloading this information for him. And I'm just picking some stuff a bit at random to make our point. Look at this. God is downloading for Moses some stuff. He goes here, verse 23 of chapter 25. Then make a table of acacia wood, 36 inches long, 18 inches wide, 27 inches high. Overlay it with pure gold and run gold molding around the edge. Those of you who build furniture, are you already envisioning what this looks like? Gold table? What? Jay-Z's house, right? It gets better. Keep going. Overlay it with pure gold, right? Run the thing around the edge. Verse 25. Decorate it with a 3-inch border all around and run gold molding around the border. Make 4 gold rings for the table and attach them to the 4 corners near the 4 legs, and attach the rings near the border to hold the poles that will be used to carry the table. That ain't a table. You leave. You take that sucker with you, right? Make these poles from acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And now catch this, verse 29. Make special containers of pure gold for the table. Bowls, ladles, pitchers, and jars to be used in pouring out liquid offerings. Place the bread of presence on the table to remain before me at all times. Moses is up the mountain in the glory of the cloud. And a handful of his leaders are nearby. And the rest of Israel, just down the hill, just down the mountain, waiting, looking at the cloud. They told us to wait on the cloud. Don't move till the cloud moves. We're waiting. And they would know that God's promise was that he would not leave them behind, that he would not have the cloud disappear. The cloud would remain. But while Moses is up the mountain, God is giving him instruction after instruction after instruction for Israel that he's to deliver once he gets finished. And Moses is up there getting these incredibly specific instructions. And meanwhile, Israel's down the mountain looking up at the cloud going, what do we do? And this is the reality of what it's like for you and I to follow God so much of the time. We're down the mountain going, God, when are you going to show up in my marriage, in my job, in my broken car, and in my inner thought life, and this addiction I'm struggling with, and depression, and whatever it is. And we're waiting on God to deliver. And I just want to encourage you that the specifics are coming. It's down the mountain while you wait that the specifics are being worked out up the mountain. God wasn't leaving his people abandoned. He's up there explaining acacia wood and poles and jars and rings. He's thinking about his people every moment. He's saying, I want you to experience my presence because soon you're going to be back on the move. And I want you to have for you this table among a lot of other things to take along with you so you can enjoy my presence. So for right now, I need you to wait while I download some specifics. The specifics are coming, when I wait. And in the midst of that waiting process, it's so valuable and essential for you and I in our life with God to say, God, I do not like waiting, but I trust you that specifics are coming. I mean, it's unbelievable to think that here they are being told by God, here's the cloud, follow it. And I can understand some of their complaining. And they've been doing that. They are experts at complaining. They don't know how long the trip will be. They don't know the details. They don't have the specifics. But if they'll just wait, the specifics are coming. God's preparing them. As a church, God has faithfully delivered us some specifics. I mentioned these earlier on in our service together today, these specific things that we're going after in the year ahead. This greater depth and excellence in Sundays, student ministries and life groups. The specifics are coming, and the Lord has delivered some of the specifics for us. And it may not be the ones that you want, and it may not be the ones that I want, but it's the ones that God has given us. And sometimes you and I are like, God, I want to build a tent. And he's like, you know what? I'm giving you instructions on a table. Will you build a table right now? Lord, I want to go to the promised land. He's like, you know what? I didn't ask you to go to the promised land right now. I've asked you to build a table. Will you build a table? So these are the things we believe the Lord has given us in the year ahead, and we're going to joyfully get after it. Skip ahead now to Exodus 31. Moses remains up the mountain, hearing from the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 1, look, I specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, capital S Spirit, giving him great wisdom and ability and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, an expert in working with gold and silver and bronze. And wouldn't you know, God just asked us a few chapters ago to build a table that's going to take gold. And I'm guessing Moses, being the prince that he is, hasn't been trained on how to build a table with gold. And yet just a couple chapters later, God's going to deliver for him the very guy that he needs. Full of the Spirit. Moses must have been thinking, God, this all sounds amazing. And the table sounds incredible. And all the other things you want me to build with gold and silver and bronze. But how is it going to get done? But Moses would have known this well. He's gone up the mountain with these 70 leaders. And he already knows in practice that those called to share the burden are being prepared in the waiting. Numbers 11 says, I will come down and I will talk to you there, and I will take some of the Spirit that is upon you, and I will put that Spirit upon them also. And they will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone. And I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure Bezalel was one of these 70 that Numbers 11 talks about. That the Lord was setting apart and putting his Spirit on him. And last week we gathered in this place on Sunday night with our leadership community, and our friend Banning came to speak to us and inspire us, and he shared this passage of Scripture, not knowing the series we're in or where we're going, and like the Lord just aligned it all. And Calvin texts me at 5:45 this morning, the verse of the day from YouVersion, which talks about carrying one another's burdens. Maybe some of you got it on yours. That the Lord is stirring something in us as a church, that we're to begin to carry one another's burdens. It's important that you know that I'm telling my girls, I want them to grow up and be like you, ladies. So carry that carefully, because they're watching. There are times, even last night, when I elbowed my sons at an event we had here, and I said, see that guy over there? See what he's doing? Son, I want you to grow up and be like that. That's our pattern. Follow that guy as he follows Jesus. Because you know, teenagers, they won't do anything their dad says, right? So the Lord's blessed me with you. And you know how to carry that burden with some weightiness, but with some joy. Like, man, the choices I make matter because those streeter kids are going to grow up and be like me. And I got a feeling that that's not just happening in my family. I got a feeling you're telling your kids that too. They will bear the burden with you. God's not only lining up the specifics that we need to continue to follow him, he's lining up the people that we need to help carry that burden. This is the way God works every time. If we will just remain at the foot of the mountain, knowing that it's coming, knowing that in the waiting, the Lord is still working. Now skip ahead to chapter 32. As we finish Moses' time up the mountain, Chapter 32, verse 1. When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, remember, 40 days, 40 nights. When they saw how long it was taking, they gathered around Aaron. Oh, poor Aaron. Anybody ever read the Old Testament and just feel bad for Aaron? This guy just really gets dealt a rough hand. They come around Aaron and they say, end quote, come on. Make us some gods who can lead us. You feel that? You feel the weight of that? You think back in your life some times when you said, listen, People Magazine, make me some gods that will lead me. Listen, cable television. Listen, social media. Listen, boss of mine who drives a nicer car. Listen, whatever it is, make me some gods that I can follow. Because this God I've been waiting on, I've been waiting down the mountain. I've been praying about my marriage, and I've been praying about my finances, and I've been praying about this addiction, and I've been praying about this anxiety, and I've been praying about the panic, and I've been praying about all the myriad of other things I've been praying about. And I'm just waiting, God. And you've given me this cloud, your word, and your spirit, and the people you've put around me. But God, it's not giving me what I want, so I'm going to wander off. Go see if maybe the pots and pans section or the couches will get me what I need, because this ain't doing it for me anymore. And the truth of the matter, at least for me in my life, is the counterfeit looks pretty good while I'm waiting. When I'm waiting for God to show up, counterfeit looks really good. But all the while, and in all the waiting, for life to get back on the rails, or for all those things that we pray about to pass, or receive healing, God's touch, God's there preparing, setting in place specifics that you're going to need to follow him, aligning the people with the specifics. And there might even be some people that he's calling into a specific, and he says, hey, Ronnie, I need you to come over here because I want you involved in Jeffrey's life. And Ronnie goes, no, God, I won't answer. And God goes, okay, but I want you to be a blessing. Okay, hold on, wait here down the mountain for a little while longer, Jeffrey, because I got to go find me another Ronnie. And I don't know how many times God's called you to be the specific in someone's life, and you said, no, I won't. And when you say, no, I won't, you cause someone else's waiting room to last a little bit longer. Because our kids are growing up to be like us. Like Israel, I want the Red Sea to part and swallow up my enemies, but God whispers, will you follow me? Like Israel, I'm fearful that I just might starve. And I cry out to God, God, will you provide for me? The resources have gone slim, and then manna arrives in my life, and I hear God whisper to me, but will you follow me? Remember the cloud I gave you? Parched for refreshment in life, like Israel waiting on that rock to provide water. God delivers the water I need for refreshment so often, and yet the whisper that's always lingering is, Stu, will you follow me? Will you wait when I say wait? And will you run when I say run? And will you not wander off in the mall? Will you wait? I pray that you'll be a waiter as well. And sometimes cloud chasing is about cloud waiting. Sometimes it's just standing there in the glory of God and saying, you are beautiful. Father, we thank you for these moments that you've designed, for your goodness to us, for the myriad of ways that you provide miraculously for us. So God, we just commit that where you go, we will go. And what you say are the things that we will say. God, we recognize that Jesus only moved when he saw you move, Father. He only prayed the things that you prayed into him. We'll grab hold of the Redeemer's cloak. We'll grab hold of the hem of his garment, that his power might flow from the hem of that garment into our lives, bring us healing. But in the waiting, God, we commit and we say that we will go where you go and that we will wait on the healing to arrive. Speak to us in worship, Father. Speak to us through your word, Spirit. Speak to us through the whispers of your voice. Speak to us through the community of faith that you've put around us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to worship for a few minutes. I just want to leave you with a couple questions. As you might be saying, what's next, God? Here's something maybe to be praying through this week. Snap a picture of it or ask somebody to send it to you. And as you say, what's next in my life, God? Maybe say, what specifics have you lined up already in my life, God? Where can I see that you've already lined them up? God, who is in my life to help me carry the burdens? And finally, God, what counterfeit is tempting me? What counterfeit tempts me? Let's sing together, where I go. Where you go, I go. Where you